Welcome back to Two-Way Talk here on Public Radio, WEAA 88.9, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm Carol Williams.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
Marshalene White is the Executive Director of Maryland Consumer Rights. She will discuss how they are helping Marylanders with many issues. Welcome to WEAA, Ms. White.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you give us a little bit of, can you talk about the housing and tenant advocacy?
Absolutely. I would be happy to. So, the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition works on issues statewide, although we're based in Baltimore City, and we work on policy advocacy and research, but also we work on direct service work and assistance. And, of course, with the global pandemic and recession, we've been particularly concerned about what's happening to our residents who are facing, housing insecurity, mm-hmm. whether you're afraid you're going to lose your house to foreclosure or you're going to lose your house through eviction. We are trying to take steps to protect Baltimore City and residents statewide. So in particular, we run a program, the Fair Housing Action Center, and the Fair Housing Action Center has a tenant advocacy hotline and an intake form. So the tenant advocacy program will provide advice and assistance to tenants who are facing problems with their landlords, whether it's eviction or whether it is, fear of having repairs done, et cetera. And the tenant hotline number is 443-447-7336. Or people can complete something online at fairhousingmaryland.org and we'll respond to you to try to either help you directly or if we can't help you, put you in touch with a lawyer or someone else who can assist you. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, we have seen more than 1,000 clients this year. And just to give you some perspective, in 2019, we saw about 250. So huge increase in people being very concerned about being evicted and losing their housing because of eviction.
So your program, Know Before You Enroll, it advocates on the benefit of student loan borrowers. What is being put in place to help students with loans?
That's a great question. I can tell you, I'm the mother of a child who just started college. He's a freshman this year. So I feel like now I not only know it from a policy perspective, but I have a lived experience of trying to go through all of those forms and applications and make sense of them. So Know Before You Enroll is really designed to help students and parents before you sign on the dotted line and you take out all those loans and you, try to figure out what's going to make the most sense. But it's focused in particular on predatory for-profit colleges and trade schools, in part because we've seen in Maryland, we released a report talking about for-profit colleges in Maryland, and we saw first that they were intentionally targeting low-income communities of color. So some of the best and brightest in our low-income communities, particularly first-generation learners who wanted to go to school, these very slick organizations would target them and say, why go to school for 4 years when you can go for 1 year and get a degree?
Mm-hmm.
But the student didn't know what to look for or what kinds of questions to ask to protect themselves. So the website, if you go to Know Before You Enroll, you can hear from students who've gone to for-profit colleges to tell you in their own words what they wish they would have known.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gives you some questions to ask and tips and things to look for. So if someone's rushing you to sign right there, right then, I don't want to say run, but I would say take the information and walk real quickly out of there,
mm-hmm.
because everyone should give you 24, 48 hours to make a big decision about mm-hmm. what you're going to do.
That's right.
In your next phase.
Mm.
So that's what it's really about, is it's really focusing on it's really focusing on these for-profit schools. We did work last year with legislation and with a group of other advocates on other issues for college students who are at public universities, because, again, with the pandemic, one of the things we are seeing is that we have a lot of students who may look great in the classroom, but as you all know, they're facing real housing insecurities. They may be couch surfing.
Mm-hmm.
They may be in their car. They may not have enough food every day, and that's affecting their learning. And so we did some work trying to document a little bit of that problem, but also worked with other organizations to pass a hunger-free campus bill, which means colleges in Maryland can now apply to be a hunger-free campus, meaning that they will provide a food pantry on campus for students that students can access. They will do surveys to document the nature of housing and food insecurity, but they'll also assign a financial aid or someone on staff at the university to help students apply for SNAP, for food assistance, mm-hmm. or other kinds of assistance. It can just ease their burden, because no one needs that kind of additional pressure when you're trying to learn.
So let me ask you, the Consumer Rights Coalition partners with other organizations to really look out for purchasing a vehicle, getting insurance, making sure that it's fair and affordable for all Maryland consumers. Tell us how you do that and who you're partnering with.
Absolutely. So, again, you know, we have 10 people on staff, so not nearly enough to achieve all the economic rights and power that we think Marylanders need and deserve. So we do it all through partnership. We work with a lot of great groups around the state and also nationally on a number of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things you may or may not know is that Maryland has some of the highest auto insurance costs in the country. We're the sixth highest in the country. And if you look across the state, Baltimore has the most expensive insurance in Maryland. And there are a couple reasons for that. One is that Maryland allows auto insurance companies to use a lot of factors that don't have anything to do with how you drive.
You're driving, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So in Maryland, you can use credit score. And if you have poor credit, then you may get a surcharge, like a tax of 60% increased cost because you have poor credit. But in Baltimore in particular, and across the state, but zip code, we use zip code to set auto insurance rates.
Oh, my God.
And so we did a report last year in partnership with the Consumer Federation of America, which is a national organization that works on these issues, looking at zip codes across Maryland. And what we found, people would not, maybe not be surprised, but it's still very shocking that the more white a community is, the less they pay in auto insurance. And again, the more black and brown families live in a zip code, the more auto insurance costs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can look in Baltimore and you can go 2 miles and you may see a difference of $400 because of someone living in one zip code versus a different zip code.
So, Marceline, I'm trying to figure out as you talk about this, I guess I have heard this for years, the zip codes, it really is real predatory. Why can't the legislature outlaw this behavior? I don't understand how insurance companies get away with this. That's gouging.
Mm-hmm. It is gouging, and it has nothing to do with, again, your driving record.
Mm.
You know, we're not saying that you can't look
of
at
course.
Some things a little bit, but it should mainly be your driving record. And as it is, you can have a DUI and live in, like, homeland and pay less than somebody who has no accidents and no DUIs but has poor credit and lives in, you know, like, Madaman, which makes no sense from a policy perspective. We have brought legislation over a number of years, and to be honest with you, the legislation has died in the Economic Matters Committee. You know, we partner with the NAACP in Maryland, with Job Opportunity Task Force, the Cash Campaign of Maryland. Vehicles for Change. So we have a number of partners who all support making these changes, but the insurance companies have, you know, 20 lobbyists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it is one of those things where we definitely need people power. We need people to be talking to their legislators. We need people to say, you know, why is my friend who lives a mile over paying less than I am, and we're about the same kind of driver?
Mm.
But I think the insurers can confuse the issue by just saying that it's all correlated.
Mm-hmm.
But as you all know, lots of things are correlated. It doesn't mean they are related. It's not a cause.
Of course.
But they can't explain it otherwise. So we know that there are a number of other states that don't use all of these factors, and all of these insurance companies in Maryland insure in those states as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we think this is not an issue of policy, but again, needing to build out the coalition of people getting loud and getting people
That's
to
right.
really talk to their legislators.
So, folks, I want you to hear everything that Marceline is sharing with us today, because you need to become active during the legislative session. When they try to hold these insurance companies and these debt collectors, all these people responsible, you need to make sure you lift your voice and let your legislator know they have to fight with you.
Yeah.
That doing anything else is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, when somebody, an insurance company has 20 lobbyists in Annapolis, they're doling out checks to these legislators, and the common everyday citizen isn't getting heard, isn't being protected. But the insurance company that has a lot of well-paid lobbyists are being protected. So Marceline is really doing us a great service today, but you've got to do your part. Take this information and you fight with it.
Now, that's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely right. And if they hear from 10 people, that, you know, it doesn't take a ton of people to make a difference. But if you live in a community where your neighbors are being charged a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
if, you know, 10 people call in, they'll start to pay attention.
Yep, they really
will. They'll know you're watching them. And they need to serve the needs of our communities, not, yeah.
So we're going to go to the phones. If you have a question for Marceline on consumer rights and protecting your rights, just give us a call at 410-319-8888. That's the number to join in our conversation, 410-319-8888. Chris is calling, says here from Maryland. Chris, welcome back to the conversation.
Hello, Anthony, and hello, Marceline. This is Christopher Irvin in Northwest.
Oh, Baltimore. Wonderful. Yes, I know you, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
How are you?
Hello.
So, Marceline, I was calling in. I heard when you spoke about consumers' rights as it relates to purchasing automobiles. My question is about, especially in this time where we advocate for people to get into entrepreneurship and small business endeavors, many times that will involve a truck of some sort, and that might be considered a commercial vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm finding out, being in trucking myself, is that there is a gap. So where the consumer wants to get into a commercial endeavor, there are issues with implied or express warranties, and people are not able to get representation when they're having a lot of issues with the trucks that they're purchasing on the used market out
mm-hmm.
here. Could you speak to that, or do you need me to flesh it out a little more?
That's a very good question, Chris. Marceline?
That's a great question. I can speak to it a little bit, Chris, and I'm happy to follow up as well.
Mm-hmm.
The warranties are a real issue, especially when people are buying used vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the things, and it's not always easy to do, but one of the things we recommend, first of all, is just in terms of the financing, seeing if you can go to a credit union or someplace else to go into the shop with financing, because it's very difficult. Otherwise, you know, they'll ask you how much you want to pay, and you give them a number, and they'll make the terms fit that number.
Mm-hmm.
So going in and saying, I've got, you know, $20,000, here's my loan, helps with that. With the warranties, it's very hard because a lot of these companies have what are called arbitration contracts, and it's built into the contract. And what that means is that it's very hard to get representation from a lawyer because the contract itself says you're waiving going to a jury of your peers. Instead, the car company is going to find somebody who's an arbitration person to negotiate with you if there's an issue. And so it just makes it very hard to assert your rights in the ways that lots of consumer attorneys would help you. That being said, there are some attorneys who specialize in auto financing in Maryland from the consumer perspective, protecting consumers, and looking in detail about these warranties and trying to see if they can, basically either set up a meeting with the car company or contest it on some grounds. Oftentimes these contracts may be written in another state, and they're not even using contracts that completely comply with Maryland law. So looking closely at the contract. And I'm happy to talk to you. I have my email, and you know how to find me. But to talk to you about some attorneys that might be able to at least take a look at some of these the language and see if it's on the up and up or what to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. So let's go back to the phones. Brother Ed, welcome to Two Way Talk.
He's calling from Baltimore.
He's calling from Baltimore.
Yes, I am. Thank you for today's show. It's a very, very good show. And I will verify with the lady who was speaking on car insurance. Now, I was living in Charles Village, which is it's a mixed community, a lot of college students, things over that way. And I moved and I bought a house over in West Arlington, which is a 21215 zip code. And I had to call my agent, which I don't want to announce the insurance company over the line, but I was wondering, I said, why did my insurance jump from when I was renting and living in Charles Village to becoming a homeowner with a very good driving record? Matter of fact, I'm a senior citizen now. I'll be 65 in November.
Congratulations.
And I said, well, why is my insurance? And what my agent told me was, she said, well, in that West Arlington area, 21215, a lot of accidents, a lot of carjackings, and a lot of cars are stolen in that area, in your zip code.
Mm.
And she said, I wish you had consulted with me sooner. Maybe I could have done something.
Yeah.
But she said, that's the underwriters are saying that by their data that they get from the police department and other entities, that this is what your policy is going to cost. So you had a really good show. There's a lot of points. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And that's sad that he has to absorb that cost because of the crime and all that in his neighborhood.
And if you think about it, as Marceline told us in the beginning, it really speaks to the discriminatory nature when they say, well, you have a lot of carjackings in your neighborhood, but over here there aren't as many carjackings, there isn't as much crime, so we're going to charge them less.
Right.
And we're going to punish you for where you live. It's horrible. It really is horrible. Let's go.
And again, it just looks, if you looked at the map again, it looks like the black butterfly in the white elm.
Yeah, it sure does.
Same map again and again and again.
So let's go to the phones. Gene is calling from Pikesville. Gene, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Yeah, but I don't know. I already said good evening. Good afternoon.
That's all right.
I know. Yeah, okay, so I don't know if people are familiar at all with Brown versus Board of Education. And Maggie McIntosh really, brought this to an understanding where I get it. Interdistrict relief. Anybody ever heard of interdistrict relief? Okay, and gerrymandering.
Yes.
Yeah, these are two things that came out of integration. And what it means is it doesn't matter where you live. You can't use that as a means of, verifying discrimination. And it's redlining.
Right.
And again, Maggie McIntosh said that when she was running against Adrian Jones, that gerrymandering would be probably one of the most important things that's going to come up, you know, in this 2022 election,
mm-hmm.
and the 2024 election. And so, basically, this is what it is. It's a failure that happened when Brown v. Board of Education, compromised with the remedy phase of integration. And it's one of the shortcomings of that. So, again, if people aren't familiar with inter-district relief and gerrymandering, it's worth mm-hmm. Googling. So,
Thank you so much, Gene. Appreciate it. Now, Marceline, talk to us. Give us a little bit more information about the areas that the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition work focus their advocacy on.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest way to think about it, or the way I try to describe it, is what I call kitchen table issues, kind of bread and butter issues. So the things you think about where people are sitting with a pile of bills and trying to figure out what to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So we really focus primarily on low-income and working families. So we think about housing, whether it's rental housing or, you know, home ownership. We think about cars and auto insurance. Until we have massive investment in public transit, you need a car, or most people do, to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to insure it so you're not being hit with all these fines and fees. But we also think about good debt and bad debt, so student loan debt, but also the kind of debt that may be consumer debt and medical debt, and all of the debt collection practices that we have in Maryland that, in our view, really deepen poverty
mm-hmm.
and widen the racial wealth gap, the way we pursue debt and the way debt collection favors the debt collectors over low-income people who
mm-hmm.
may not be able to pay their bills. Those are broadly the issues we look at, but I do want to also mention that we run a fair housing program. So we have the only program in the state that can look at fair housing and both test to see if there's fair housing discrimination, and that's property managers, banks,
mm-hmm.
mortgage companies. We can also investigate and do enforcement. So we can try to determine if there's a problem. And then if there is, both educate, the individual, the project manager, et cetera, about what they need to do things better, but also try to enforce to make sure that we have access to fair housing in Maryland.
So how do people get in touch with your Fair Housing Action Center?
Great. So I can give you that contact information
mm-hmm.
right now. The website is www.fairhousingmd.org. And if you go onto that website, it'll say two things. It'll say either, do you have a housing complaint, which would go to our tenant program, or sign up to be a fair housing tester.
Yes.
And we're always looking for people who can help us, and it's paid to go in and test and see
test,
if there's fair
yeah,
housing.
See if there's discrimination.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So in the last few minutes that we have, is there anything that you want to share with our listeners? Let's go to the phones. Tyrone is calling from Baltimore. Tyrone, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Yes, how's everybody doing?
Doing well.
Good.
Okay, I have two questions. Number one, I wanted to get your phone number for an issue I want to talk about offline.
Okay.
What was the phone number for your agency, ma'am? Well, sir. The agency.
Marceline, what's your contact number?
Oh, sure. I can give you the contact number and my email. My email is marceline@marylandconsumers, and that's all spelled out, consumers.org. And you can call our number at, I'm just going to give you our number, and we have somebody checking every day, too. It's 410-220-0494. 410-220-0494.
0494. Yep. Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll be contacting you later. But I just wanted to say I appreciate the way they do these things is they shroud it in reasonability or they try to rationalize it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, since you live in a bad neighborhood, you've got to pay extra insurance. That's nonsense because I've experienced that. I've never had my car hijacked. Okay, so why should I have to pay extra money because people get their cars hijacked? You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that you guys have identified and see it for what it is. It's basically punishing people for living around neighborhoods that have more crime than another neighborhood. And throughout my life, I've known people who have actually used other, and I know y'all about
of course, of course.
Other people that address in the county haven't changed their driving record at all and got greatly reduced insurance rate by using that address in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's not fair. It's really not fair. And so the water bill's a red line, too, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tyrone. And you know, one of the interesting things about discrimination when it comes to insurance and rent and all these things is that we're talking about neighborhoods and individuals who most likely cannot pay what people over in Guilford and other places are paying. But they're paying less.
So
you're punishing people for being poor. You're punishing people for being black. You're punishing people for not having access to wealth. It's horrible.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. That's how it deepens poverty. We're seeing people who regularly are paying $2,400 to $3,600 a year.
Mm.
And so, you know, they may be able to pay it for a while, but, you know, any kind of setback, people are going to go without insurance because you need to have food and medicine and care for your child and have a roof over your head. And then if they get caught driving without insurance, there's more fees and more fines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say, just to let y'all know, there will be legislation looking at these issues again in the General Assembly in 2022. So, you know, I would love if people are fired up now to follow us, follow some of our colleagues, because there will be legislation coming to try to address this issue again. And also, just in the last minute to note, we're also going to try to get rid of modern-day debtors' prisons.
Oh, wonderful.
Maryland still allows people to be jailed for consumer debt.
Oh. That is just unfathomable that is the reality that we're living in today. Marceline White is Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the information today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here and speak with you all.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Light Rail Link, we have that work link, we have that work link, we have that work link.